Good day. This is Reverend Ovid Need again, presenting another Bible study lesson. These lessons are a little involved and require some careful listening. However, the notes are posted at sermonaudio.com/providence. The name of the sermon audio, Providence, is from the church I was pastoring in West Virginia. The name of the church was Providence Baptist Church. So these are from sermon audio is from that church. I resigned the church some years ago to be able to move to Ohio to be with grandchildren. Message today is torturing Christ. Now that's a strange subject, I'm sure, but if you'll stick with me, you'll understand what we're talking about. We read in our text is 2 Peter 3:16. As also in all his epistles, speaking in them of things in which are some things hard to be understood, which they that are unlearned and unstable rest, as they do also the other scriptures, unto their own destruction. The airwaves, pulpits, whether it be radio, TV, or in person, are filled with speakers presenting some strange things under the banner of Christianity. The shelves of Christian bookstores are covered with books under the banner of Christianity that promote ideas and theories that are clearly contrary to the Word of God. So the question we want to address here is, what should be the Christian's response to those who clearly change the context of God's Word to make it say what they want it to say? Or who changes the Word God to make points that are obviously contrary to the law, Psalms, and the prophets? We must also include those who are proud of their education in theology. When they deal with theological issues, it is obviously that they are making their passages say something that, according to the Old and New Testament context, it does not say. Does their high level of education give them license to make those changes and assumptions? I mentioned to a friend some time ago that I did not feel a Christian should receive instruction from those who profess to be Christians, yet openly corrupt the Word of God. His reply to me was that we can either learn to eat fish and spit bones, or not eat fish at all. Now, spitting bones might make for a good fish dinner, but it does not make for good theology. It is not scriptural. God presents false doctrines and false teachings as poison, and it is normally impossible for a new believer to separate the 1% poison from the 99% carrier. Look on the ingredients of rat poison. You'll see that the poison itself makes up a very minute part of the poison. Now, we're not referring to experts outside of theology, which is a study of God's Word. We must commonly seek their expertise in various areas. I'm not a good electrician, so I must seek someone else, whether he's a Christian or not. I must seek his expertise to work on any major electrical problems. We are referring to wolves in sheep's clothing. These are experts, or angels of light, as Paul calls them. These are angels of light claiming to believe God's word as they offer life-giving advice. The passage in 2 Peter 3:16 that we just read, the context is referring to the doctrine of last things. Peter's warning includes all Bible doctrine with the words, also other scriptures. The key word that Peter uses is rest, W-R-E-S-T. It is only used this one time in the Word of God. According to the 1828 Webster, rest, a verb transitive, to rest, to snatch, or pull, or burst, to tear. Here's several definitions, examples, to twist or extort by violence, to pull or force from by violent wringing or twisting, as to wrest an instrument from another's hands. Two, to take or force from by violence. The enemy made a great effort and wrested victory from our hands. But fate has wrested the confession from me. Sadly, it seems the conservatives, Republicans, or whoever, do not put up a united front against Marxism, those who are determined to destroy this nation. In other words, a Marxist easily wrests the victory from conservatives, as Rush Limbaugh used to say. The Republicans snatch defeat out of victory. Exodus 23 and verse 2. To distort, to turn from truth or twist from the natural meaning by violence, to pervert. Thou shalt not wrest judgment, the judgment of the poor. That is, thou shalt not bend justice out of shape. Excuse me. To favor a particular group or person. Strong's definition of rest: pervert, twist, stretch, or torture, as on a rack. That is, torture language to give it a false sense or meaning. I'm sure you've all seen Princess Bride. You'll find there torturing on a rack. There would be a good definition as you see that, torturing on a rack. Look, watch it and see. It's pretty well, if you've got any children at home, if you've done any homeschooling, you've watched it, I'm sure. In other words, a passage is ripped from its context in order to make it something, say something it does not say. It is wrested from its context. I have sat under more than a few dispensationalists, Arminian dispensationalists, and even some self-proclaimed Orthodox teachers who are experts in this method of exegesis. That is, they wrest scripture to justify a point they are trying to make. Now, I often wrest scriptures, and no preacher can really preach without it. But I try to tell the hearers that I'm using a passage out of its context, but applying it to another area. I cannot sit under preachers and teachers who constantly wrest the Word of God and won't admit that they are wresting it from its context. So what do we have here? Torturing the Word of God is actually tortures the incarnate Word of God to make him say something he did not say. Will God hold the perpetrators guilty? How about the first century believers? Would they have allowed one of those who tortured the Savior just before his death? Would they have allowed them to teach on how to treat one another? Come on now. Repentance and conversion changes things. Why do Christians allow modern experts who torture God's word, including the gospel, to instruct them in the truth? ask Jesus into your heart, which is based on Revelation 3:20, is no doubt the most serious example of torturing Christ in use today. Those speakers have put Christ on the rack and have tortured the Word of God beyond any recognition. We must insert a comment here. No doubt a great portion of false teaching that is being presented is a result of what the teacher was taught. They saw no need. They trusted the teacher who taught them. So they saw no need to search out these things to see if they be true according to the Scripture. Some years ago, I spoke to a close pastor friend. And I called his attention to a Scripture he was using apart from its Old Testament context. And he actually said he literally believed that David would raise from the dead there in Acts. The context was quite contrary to what he was saying, and he knew it. When I challenged him on his use, he told me, "This is the way I was taught by men I respect, and that is what I have taught, and I'm not going to change now. I'm too old to change now." Though that was probably 30 years ago, I will never forget his response. He knew the truth, and he would not change now. Was it his pride? I had worked with him several years previous to that, and we were both big promoters of dispensational Arminianism. I don't know if he ever saw the light since that time. Obviously, those who torture the Word of God to make him say what they want him to say will face some very serious results. Peter tells us that they torture the Word of God to their own destruction. He thus warns the child of God to avoid those who torture the Word of God, or they will be partakers with the torturer's destruction. The Spirit speaks loud and clear concerning the Christian's response to men of corrupt minds who wrest the language to make it say something more fitting to their theology. Matthew 7:15, "Beware false prophets, which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. Ye shall know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes of thorns or figs of thistles? Even so, every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Every tree that bringeth forth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. Wherefore by their fruits ye shall know them." The Lord told us that false teachers are known by their false doctrines concerning His Word. They wrest the Scriptures. They are known because as they wrest the Scriptures from their context or make Scripture say something, make a word say something it does not say. Though they may appear as good teachers, that is, angels of light, and are able to attract large followings, they are at heart ravening wolves. Their false doctrines concerning the Word of God reveals the truth of what they are. Though the teacher may appear as an angel of light in the non-biblical areas of our concern, their false doctrine in biblical areas show that they are thorns, thistles, and corrupt trees. The Lord Himself said that those who corrupt His Word will devour the innocent. Beware. Jesus Christ said that the standard by which everything must be measured is His law, the Psalms, and the prophets. John 5:36, "Search the Scripture, for in them ye think ye have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me." One might say, but those things they offer in non-theological areas are excellent. The divine word of God says it's impossible to gather grapes, figs, and good fruit from false teachers, from those who commonly wrest scriptures. Paul warned Timothy in 1 Timothy 1:4, neither give heed to fables and endless genealogies, which minister questions rather than godly edifying, which is in faith, so do. The Geneva Bible defines the words used to torture the Word of God as vain and curious speculations and declarations and utterances of which can help our faith in no way. God not only forbids listening to foolish, wicked fables and endless genealogies, but he also commands Christians to withdraw from those who develop and defend fables which are not supported by the law, the Psalms, and the prophets. In other words, get out of those churches. They present sugar-coated poison. 1 Timothy 3:6, if any man teach otherwise and consent not to wholesome words, even the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, and to the doctrine which is according to godliness, he is proud, knowing nothing, but doting about questions and strife of words, whereof cometh envy, strife, railings, evil surmisings, perverse disputings of men of corrupt men, of corrupt minds, and destitute of the truth, supposing that gain is godliness. From such withdraw thyself. He knows those last couple of words. That's not the theme of this message, but it's, say here, supposing that gain is godliness. How many people point to their large church, or how many pastors point to their large congregation and say, this proves that my preaching is godly? How foolish. The Christian is commanded to get away from such men who point to gain as proof of their godliness. Here we see in 1 Timothy, the context refers primarily to undermining the proper servant-master relationship. Yet the application is equally obvious. Those who seek to add their corrupt words, ideas, and views of history to the sacred word of God are proud men. They are setting themselves above God. They weary both themselves and others with vain speculations and speculations because they worry both themselves and others with vain questions and speculations because they do not content themselves with Christ's clearly revealed doctrines from his word. This is a hard saying, but those who torture the word of God to fit within their theories, including theories of the gospel, are lying deceivers. They are madmen because they trouble themselves in matters of nothing. They corrupt men's minds. They abuse the word of God, the Lord Jesus Christ. They are vain babblers and foolish talkers. They are men of corrupt minds and destitute from the truth. They are perverse and corrupt fraud. Paul told Timothy, get away from them, from such withdraw thyself, for there is no light in them. Isaiah 8, verse 20, to the law and to the testimony, if they speak not according to this word, it is because there is no light in them. If they speak contrary, if they pull passages out of their Old Testament, out of their Old Testament context, they do that because there is no light in them. They're not saved. if they cannot make a proper application. It says here, there is no light in them. They pull them apart and make them stand separately, contrary to their context. Those who commonly wrest the word of God are blind leaders of the blind. What will happen if God's people allow these blind leaders to lead them? Will they not both fall into the ditch? There are many warnings in the Word of God about false teachers. In the context of this message, we are speaking about leaders who, for whatever reason, corrupt the Word of God to present a message more to their line of thinking, more to their personal theology. Simply adding one wrested word to a text can easily change the meaning of that text, and the average listener will not recognize the change. And this is my big complaint against these modern perversions of Scripture that are made contrary to the that are translated apart from the Textus Receptus. They change a word, and in changing that word, they change the doctrine of that passage. Read a parallel Bible. I've got a couple of them, and I use the King James or the Geneva when I hear speakers, and it's amazing at how these other versions change the meaning of passages by changing a few words. It's distressing for me to listen to, because my business for the last 50 years has been with the proper meaning of words. Though I don't have the education to speak Hebrew or Greek or Aramaic, I have word study books. There's no reason that a person, I haven't had Greek. Well, get you a good book, and it will explain the words. I don't know Hebrew. Get a good lexicon, and it will explain the meanings of the words. 2 Timothy 3:1, know this also that in the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. For of this sort are they which creep into houses and lead captive silly women laden with sins, led away with divers lusts, ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of truth. Now as James and Jannes and Jambres withstood Moses, so do these also resist the truth, men of corrupt minds, reprobate concerning the truth. But they shall proceed no farther, for their folly shall be manifest unto all men, as theirs also was, as Jannes and Jambres also was. The Lord warns his people about men of corrupt minds, reprobate concerning the truth. The reformers warned us in the Geneva Notes, saying there shall be an abundance of the most wicked men, even in the very bosom of the church. They will make a show and countenance of great holiness and charity, but they resist the truth. Not from simple ignorance. It's one thing to resist the truth out of ignorance. They resist the truth from a perverse mind. God's people must not tarry with such men, but turn away from them. And we might say here that there's no reason for simple ignorance. When they are called out on it, they need to study it out and find out. So simple ignorance will stand as no excuse before the Lord in that day. We have the word. Search it out. They torture God's word to make him say something he did not say. The Spirit commands from such turn away, and the warning is throughout Scripture. 2 Timothy 2, 1 through 5, and 12 and 13. We won't read the passage, but I urge you to look it up and read it for yourself. It will be printed out in the notes if you go to the sermon audio and get the notes. Obviously, the Church of Christ, which is the new Israel of God, has more confused and false prophets in it than did the old Israel of God, the old church in the wilderness. Not only are there many heresies and promoters of heresies in the church, but there are as many in the New Testament Israel of God who gladly welcome these teachers as there were in the old Israel of God. 2 Timothy 4 and verse 3, we read, "For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears." In other words, they welcome false teachers who misuse Scripture because it will justify what they are wanting to do. God promises to deliver his elect from the errors of the false teachers if they will properly respond as commanded by the Word of God when confronted with the truth. Romans 16, 17 and 18. "Now I beseech you, brethren, mark them which cause division and offenses contrary to the doctrines which you have learned, and avoid them. For they that are such serve not our Lord Jesus Christ, but their own belly, and by good words and fair speech deceive the hearts of the simple." They're in it for the money. They're in it for the crowd. They are in it for anything except the glory of God. They are not seeking the glory of God. They are seeking their own glory and their own agenda. Now we notice here that Paul did not name the ones who were to be marked and avoided. On the contrary, their evil, false doctrine obtained by torturing the Word of God clearly identifies them. The torturers did not die out, so today they must be diligently sought as one would watch for his enemy from a tower. If we sincerely want to know, very few people really want to know the truth, but if one really wants to know the truth, the Spirit of God will impress his heart to check it out, to raise doubts in his mind, but to go look at Scripture and identify whether these things be true or not. Now note Paul's words here. "When identified by their corrupt teachings according to the doctrine which ye have learned, they are to be marked for a specific reason. Not so one can sift out the expert's truth from his fiction, but so the expert can be avoided." Now use that word "expert" in quotes. "Identify them according to the law, the Psalms, and the prophets, and avoid them," is Paul's command. In Deuteronomy 3, verses 1 through 15, and it is a long passage, so again, I will ask you to look it up or check the notes that will be posted. The law of God is dogmatic there, as it requires death to those who subvert the Word of God. Any preaching or worship of God that is not according to the Word of God is service to a false god. Prayer to the Father, apart from the intercession of Christ, is prayer to a false god. Note that the subverter of the law was from within the congregation of the Lord, and the law required his death. Deuteronomy 18, verse 20. But the prophet which shall presume to speak a word in my name, which I have not commanded him to speak, or that shall speak in the name of other gods, even that prophet shall die. Now this passage is quite a bit stronger than Deuteronomy 13, 1 through 5. This passage requires capital punishment against all who offer answers to life apart from the Word of God. We may hear of desires to enforce the law of God, but where are the desires to enforce these laws against those who torture God's Word? They abound in Orthodox churches, in non-Orthodox churches, as well as in liberal churches. Why isn't the law of excommunication, of course we can't put them to death, but the church can excommunicate them and is commanded to excommunicate them when a pastor consistently butchers the Word of God, consistently uses passages out of their proper context, and when he consistently rests the Word of God, the elders of the church are to exercise church discipline and remove him from his pastorship, for lack of a better word. Remove him from his teacher's position. He is poison, and he poisons the congregation. We must conclude, therefore, that those who knowingly or unknowingly torture God's word to uphold their supposed biblical theories are the embodiment of the spirit of Antichrist as defined in 1 and 2 John. Deuteronomy 3 and Matthew 24:24 tells us that the corruptors are God's enemies, and they are sent by God to test and deceive the very elect if possible. Though their numbers are legion, their purpose is one: draw away the elect from the real issues and answers of life that provide genuine solutions. Their purpose is to stop the advancement of the kingdom of God on earth. And again, Paul calls these men angels of light, as they, under the guise of godly Christianity, wrest the Word of God. They corrupt the Word of God and lead astray the people of God. The simple, defined in Proverbs as the simple. Those who don't understand and are unwilling to check it out. Anyway, that's another message all in itself. That advancement of the kingdom can only be through honest preaching of the gospel, teaching all nations the Word of God, and teaching the proper application of His command word in all areas and thought. We freely use Psalms 1, verse 1. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of scornful. Yet we don't really believe what it says. The Lord did not say, blessed is the man that walketh not in the ungodly counsel of men. Rather, he said, walks not in the counsel of the ungodly. In other words, the Lord's blessing are upon those who do not seek life-giving counsel from the ungodly. Who can be more ungodly than those who torture the Word of God in order to support a doctrine or a theory that fits within their view of Scriptures, again, such as Arminianism and dispensationalism, neither of which are taught in the Scripture, in the whole of Scripture. Now, there's some Scriptures that might be, that can be wrested to teach these strange doctrines, these unbiblical doctrines, these damnable doctrines, but no scripture in the Word of God. When taken in the context of the whole of the Word of God, will support these doctrines from hell. Why would a child of God willfully and intentionally spurn the blessings of God, the God he claims to love and serve? Those who sit in the counsel of the ungodly will depart from God's blessings. God's people are clearly instructed by the Spirit to avoid those who wrest or torture God's word and who refuse correction from the Word of God. They refuse to even consider anything that might be contrary to what they have been taught and what they have taught over the years. As that pastor has said to me, this is the way I was taught by men I respect. This is what I've taught all my life, and this is what I'm going to continue to teach, even though scriptures don't confirm it. He led his people astray. They are corruptors of God's word. They are corruptors of men's minds as they speak concerning the issues of life. Their sheep's clothing cannot change the fact that they are, knowingly or unknowingly, at heart ravening wolves with only devouring poison for God's people, no matter how good they may sound. 2 Kings 4, verse 40, O man of God, there is death in the pot. Let us pray. Father, we thank you for your word. Lord, give us the wisdom we need, insight we need. Give us your spirit that we might recognize words that are corrupted, the corrupting of you, the wresting of the word of God to make him say something he does not say. Lord, it's so common today in this fluffy religion which we are surrounded by. The gospel is to be taken out into the world and the nations converted through its preaching. Help us, Father, to understand and know your word as it applies into our daily lives. Give us the wisdom we need. Help us to grow in grace and knowledge for Jesus' sake. Amen. This is Ovid Need. I invite you to send me an email, visit our website, biblicalexaminer.org, and my email address is ovid.need@gmail.com. Thank you for listening. We hope that it has been a blessing for you. Bye now.